don't lose sight of the celebration moments. I think TA is such a hard profession, in my opinion. You are only as good as your last hire more often than not. And don't lose those opportunities to celebrate with your team. It doesn't have to cost anything. Something as simple as a nice note to, you know, whoever the person was that made just a really difficult hire, or even a simple hire, right? Those are the moments that I think go a long way for your staff. It makes you feel good as a leader too. You know, there's nothing better than that kind of recognition process.
Hello, and welcome to the Talent Acquisition Leaders Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Dull, and on this show, we interview today's industry leaders in talent acquisition to discuss challenges, best practices, and what the future holds. If you are working in talent acquisition and have always wanted to sit down with your peers at other companies to exchange ideas and learn, well, this show is the next best thing. Join us each week as we bring you a new expert interview and extract their expertise. This episode is brought to you by SageMark HR. Transform your recruiting practices with leading-edge technology. Selecting the right recruiting solutions to enable your strategy is one of the biggest challenges leaders face today. You know technology will help, but searching all the options to find out what will work best for your specific needs can be both overwhelming and time-consuming. At SageMark HR, we make selecting the right recruiting technology easy. Our proven process has helped companies such as 3M, Comcast, Stryker, Walgreens, and many more. Reach out to us at SageMark HR for a free consultation to learn how we can help you improve results with less stress and confidently change from reacting to leading.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Talent Acquisition Leaders Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Dull, and today I have a fun conversation with Josh Dudzik. Josh is the AVP of TA at Inova Health. Josh, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Ryan.
Yeah, looking forward to our conversation. Let's start out, if you wouldn't mind, for the audience, give a little bit of context on your background, maybe how you got started in the TA space, as well as a few roles that you've held leading up to your current role.
Sure. I think like most, I fell into TA. It wasn't something that like when I was a young kid was like, oh, I want to be in talent acquisition as my career, right? So got started on the agency side of things, worked for some travel nurse companies, worked my way into leadership through that space, and then got my first opportunity on the corporate side of things with a large health system based in Florida, and was more kind of on the regional side of things for that large health system. So I had multi-regions, and I really led the talent acquisition function over that region, the Tampa, Florida region. And then got an opportunity with Inova to really do more of a system lead space and really took that opportunity. I've been with Inova for coming up on 3 years. So it's been a great transition for me. We had a really talented group of TA professionals for that health system.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you for sharing that. Let's talk a little bit about Inova, if you wouldn't mind, provide a little bit of scope and overview for the audience, starting first with Inova as an organization and then around your TA team, around the size and scope of your responsibility.
Sure. So Inova is a large nonprofit health system based in Northern Virginia, so right out of the DC area. Probably 22 plus thousand employees, I would say, is the size of our system. And like I said, really kind of leads the Northern Virginia market from a healthcare system standpoint. My team, we are made up of a variety of recruiters, we call them talent acquisition consultants, as well as the sourcing function, as well as some onboarding and kind of talent acquisition coordinators fall within that. And it is really, we're probably 100-ish team when it comes to employee size. We have a team that is dedicated to the physician and mid-level group from a recruitment standpoint. We have my team, which is really the largest team, which is kind of our TA operations, which is everything from executive leadership down to frontline entry-level roles and everything in between. And then we have a group that is really dedicated to your workforce development. So pipelining for the future, high schools, middle schools, all of our new grad programs fall within that group. And then we have another kind of small but mighty team that really is our compliance, our agency, keeps agency kind of in line for us. But that is the makeup of our TA team.
Okay, great. From a context perspective, roughly how many hires does your team make per year?
Yeah, we hover in the kind of 6,000 to 7,000 range, I would say, per year. So we are very fortunate at Inova that we are historically low when it comes to our turnover. So we don't have a ton of attrition that we experience. We're not immune. We still experience it. But we are, like I said, a very fortunate organization that has pretty low turnover when it comes to our retention. We have some, like any health system, growth opportunities that we really look at, some capital projects, et cetera. But since I've been here, it's been that kind of anywhere from 6,000 to 7,000 hires a year.
Great. Thank you for that. Let's talk a little bit about maybe a couple, one or two initiatives that you're really proud of, something that you and your team have accomplished strategically over the last couple of years. You've been there 3 years. So as you look backwards, what are some things that you're really proud of?
When I first joined Inova, we recognized an opportunity to transform our TA team to introduce a sourcing function within the team. So that didn't really exist at Inova before. It was there, but not really at the level that you would think a sourcing team operates. So we went through this kind of complete overhaul of our team and lifted a sourcing function as part of our TA operations. And they have been pleasantly surprising for us in terms of what they've accomplished in the short time. So that's probably, they're probably a year into their journey. And we have a bunch of different kind of data points that we utilize to really understand the ROI of that team. But one of those is, you know, what's our agency avoidance through the talent that sourcing team secures? And last year, through kind of their efforts, we were able to realize that group, we avoided about $18 million worth of agency cost from the work that they did securing that passive talent. So that was a massive lift. That was a lot of conversations with admin consuls, et cetera, to really talk about what the vision looked like. We were where we knew the healthcare landscape was headed, right? So we knew that talent was going to become harder and harder. And so we needed a group that was really, their only job was to secure that passive talent, go after that passive talent and really create those relationships. I've been in organizations where you ask the recruiter to do that. And to be honest, the recruiter doesn't have the time or the bandwidth to really dedicate what you need when it comes to that sourcing function. And so this was just it was a great win. My leader and myself knew that it was necessary. We felt like it was going to be successful. I think where we were surprised was how quickly it was successful and the impact that group has made. They're looked at as equals to our recruiters, the hiring leaders that they interact with. They look at them as partners, you know, as part of their day-to-day. And so it was a really great kind of transformation for us and also allowed the recruiters to have kind of more time to build those long-lasting relationships with the hiring leaders that are so critical for us. So that was a really big initiative for us last year and really one of those things that I'm very, very proud of the group and how they pivoted into it.
Yeah, that's great and fantastic ROI on that to be able to yield $18 million in cost avoidance. So that's excellent. Thanks for sharing that. You talked a little bit about how you calculated ROI for that particular. One thing I always like to ask guests is talk to me a little bit about how your team measures success or performance within TA specifically or organizationally. What kind of key measures does the organization look at the effectiveness or performance of TA on?
Yeah, great question. I really have been a champion of TA is really measured in two main buckets. You have the quantitative stuff. So what does your hires look like? What are your recruitment cycle metrics look like? So how quickly are you getting through the candidates that are applying to your roles? And what does that look like from our candidate stuck and how fast are they moving through the process? Sourcing has their benchmarks of how long it's taking them to source candidates, et cetera. So that's one piece of it. We use workforce planning and workforce demand to really understand goals for our recruiters. Not every recruiter is created equal. An ICU-RN recruiter is going to have a different goal than a patient access associate recruiter, right? Based on volume. We really use workforce demand in conjunction with our facility leaders to make sure, one, are these targets appropriate? And then if two, great, well, this is what we're going to use for our staff to really measure their success and effectiveness. The other bucket that I would say is as equally as important is the quality piece. And so what does the relationship look like between you and your hiring leader on a day in and day out basis? What does the relationship look like with the candidates that you are engaged with, both from candidates that are hired and then also candidates that ultimately don't get the job? What does that relationship look like? And so we do a survey every 6 months to really measure that effectiveness. It's part of our staff's performance reviews every year. We have action plans that are designed to make sure that, one, we are not losing sight of the things that are working well. I think sometimes when you think about like surveys, you only focus on the red and you forget to celebrate the green. And so making sure like, hey, the leaders really loved this. Don't lose sight of this, right? Don't try and course correct so far one way that all of a sudden you've lost some really good things that you're doing. But then the opportunity to improve is there as well. And so we have action plans that the recruiters develop after each cycle and implement those action plans and just continue that kind of progress with their leaders, with their candidates. And like I said, the non-hired candidates, we look at that as an equal part of that survey, because from our perspective, we measure if that candidate is likely to apply with us again based on that experience. And also they're going to refer people, whether they refer a person to work at Inova because their experience, even though they didn't get the job, was a positive one, or they might be a patient, or they might refer a family member or a friend to Inova as a patient. And if that experience that they had in their hiring journey was a really negative one, they might say, I wouldn't even look at Inova because it was such an awful experience I had trying to get hired. I can't imagine what the patient care looks like. And so we really look at that as very important when it comes to that non-hired candidate, to make sure that they've had as good of experience as possible, even knowing the end result was not necessarily a positive one from their hire. We express the value of that. We compare it to like a hospital's HCAHPS scores. That's what we look at scores when it comes to TA. And that really drives home the importance with the leaders when they're asked to take another survey. Leaders are asked to take surveys all the time. And so we really try and drive the importance of it for us as a TA function to deal with that relationship aspect of it. Those are the two main areas I would say that we look at success measures. There's the traditional stuff, time to fill, et cetera, within those kind of cycle metrics, but knowing, hey, are we meeting the demand of the business? So if the business is saying we need to hire X, have we met that? And if we haven't, do we have the strategies aligned to make sure that we can meet what you're needing from a business standpoint? And then what does the relationship look like? The last thing I want to hear is that leader says, yeah, Josh hires quite a few people for me, but like when I see his phone number pop up on my screen, I dread to have to talk to him because the relationship's not there. Like, you want that relationship as positive as possible.
Yeah, that's great. Thanks for sharing that level of detail. I think that's great. And I think, yeah, it's hard to sometimes measure the qualitative elements. It sounds like your survey methodology is doing a nice job comparing that and getting good response rates across the different stakeholder groups. And so I appreciate you sharing that. And that's a very robust way to measure performance. So appreciate that. As you start looking forward now from this point onto the next 12 to 18 months, what are some of the key initiatives that are being prioritized for you and your team?
Yeah, I think like most organizations, there's always the marriage of the human element and the tech element. So we are no different. We're trying to like navigate AI and how that kind of incorporates into our world, and knowing that there's nothing that takes away that kind of human touch, and we don't want to lose that, and we don't want to sacrifice that because we see a shiny new toy within the TA tech landscape or the HR tech landscape, and then all of a sudden people don't feel like they're joining a family, so to speak, within Inova. So that is one of our big initiatives, is just navigating that space, making sure that we stay up to date on the newest technology, but then also are very careful about what we implement, when we implement it, and how we implement it. We don't want to create more process just to have process. We want to make sure that it's simplified for everyone involved, and then really making sure that the staff is bought into kind of, this is to help your job, not to necessarily hinder your job or create a barrier or a roadblock. So I would say that's a pretty big thing for us to navigate over the next couple of years. And then the other thing is just Inova's growing, right? It is just it's a growing health system in the sense that we're continuing to expand our services in the Northern Virginia market. We have new facilities that are being constructed in the market, and just the idea that those facilities need people to run those facilities. And that just really puts the ownership on TA to make sure that we're continually part of those conversations and with those conversations. So I would say those are probably two of the bigger initiatives for us. A minor one for me, I would say, it's not minor in the sense of the impact, but I think we have an opportunity at Inova just to be a better referral organization. So I want to see our percent of hires increase based on the source of being a referral. I think that's just a missed opportunity for us, untapped pipeline that we're not really leaning into as much as we probably should. And so that's probably, I would say, short term, a pretty big initiative for me. I know benchmarking says top quartile is really in that 30%+ of your hires should come from referrals. And so we want to get to that level sooner than later. Just again, knowing where the trend of the healthcare industry is going, especially the labor market, and the tighter and tighter it becomes, the more creative you have to be. And referrals is just such a great way to build that. I think the last thing I'll say from an initiative for us is just continued that workforce development track. We have really made a conscious effort to not just think about universities at this point. We are a regular participants in high schools and middle schools and just educating these kids that going into healthcare doesn't necessarily mean you have to be a doctor or a nurse, right? There's a million other avenues that you have the opportunity to explore. We're probably not like many other health systems where, you know, the imaging space has become more difficult, the respiratory space has become more difficult, and just helping kids understand, like, that could be a great career, right? Like, you don't have to go be a doctor or go to school for 10 plus years to be into healthcare. You can go to a great school and learn to do imaging, and that can be your career for a very long time and a really great career. So being really intentional about our workforce development actions and getting into those schools a lot earlier in conjunction with all the other avenues that we have. We're also very fortunate we're in the DC market. So a lot of military presence for us and just that military transition work. And as military service start to leave that space, what does civilian look like for them? And how do we help them pick Inova as the next spot for them as they transition out of the military?
Yeah, that's great. I want to pick out a couple of things that you said there. I think that was all sure. Very powerful initiatives. I think first, the workforce development early in career. I have a personal experience with that. My daughter and my son, both their high school, we were lucky enough to have them have some early in career involvement in that they both were interested. They had some programs where they could get some real world experience in a field, my daughter in healthcare. And she had an amazing experience as a junior and a senior working in that field and now is going to go on and get a degree in healthcare. And really, that was really powerful. So I think meeting them and explaining that it will have really great results. The other thing you talked about a lot is focusing on referrals. It's really interesting to see and hear that. I run across that a lot in the work that we do in the TA community with TA executives and how often that is kind of, I wouldn't say ignored, but not optimized, that there's a lot of money being spent in a lot of other areas of TA. And oftentimes people's, when I ask the question around referral percentages, they're at 10%, 7%, 18%. And we start saying like, hey, a small investment, and there's some amazing tools in the marketplace today that we fully automate that, incentivize that, and drive those percentages up to 30% plus of referrals. Those are usually a very high quality pipeline, high converting pipeline, high retention pipeline. So very high quality. And it's a really easy lever to pull for organizations to generate some significant results. And then you layer on your sourcing activities after that as well. You can also layer into silver medalists or previous applicants and all of those types of things to get these high converting, high quality pipelines. It's really important to look at that. And oftentimes that might be skimmed over because maybe it's not as sexy, but I'm glad to hear you say that. I've seen that generate some amazing results for organizations.
Yeah.
So
yeah, we've just scratched the surface with a couple of consultants that we have that really take kind of an ownership of that. We almost call it like referral sourcing, right? Like that's built in there to day to day. And they've really seen some crazy gains in some of their really harder areas. And so now just like evangelizing that throughout the organization, to your point, having the right tech in place so that makes it easy for the end user to be able to refer people on a regular basis. Like all those things are just kind of part of that process for us to really lift that. And to your point, pull that lever because it is such an easy lever at the end of the day to pull and really generate that talent.
Yeah, it's most of my clients start with CRM and passive sourcing, which are valuable, but very expensive and use a lower ROI, where a very simple investment in some referral, I've seen them increase their referrals 300% in some cases for a small investment that far, like it doubles and triples the ROI of a heavy CRM implementation. And yeah, that's great to hear. And then the other part, when you're starting to talk, I really liked how you classified starting with your desired future state around the interaction between humans and tech and what you want that experience to look like. Very often we see everyone looking at all of the marketing and all of the AI, shiny objects everywhere. We have to go get this tool or that tool, or I like that marketing. Let's demo that and think about how we could apply that. That is the wrong way to go about it. The right way is like, where are we today? what do we want that experience to look like in the future? Right. And then what prioritized opportunities for tech do we have to maybe automate or leverage AI to take some of the things that we don't want humans focused on out of the equation? And then where do we want the human element of our organization to start increasing their involvement or the value that they're driving? So starting with the end in mind, having a good plan, being thoughtful about that is really important. And not many people do that. So kudos to you. Thanks for sharing.
Yeah, it's a dance, right? Because you have also competing interests when you're exploring those things. And so just making sure that, to your point, that you start in the right frame of mind first and kind of work your way through it.
Yeah, and this is an interesting time for all of us because for the first time ever, I'm seeing a lot of pressure from organizations, from executive groups of coming to TA saying, and other functions, like, you need to use AI. What is your AI strategy? Like pushing you to do things. And sometimes it's kind of like, here's how we're going to use that and appreciate the opportunity and interest for investment, but we want to do this like wisely here.
Right. Yeah, 100%.
That's great. Last question I would have for you is, what's some advice that you would have for others in the space? The audience is mainly folks who are in TA or interested in TA as a profession. And so what's some advice you would have for others in the audience?
Yeah, I think as a leader, I think all too often we get so focused on trying to course correct. And that is absolutely important and something that we continually have to review and address and move forward on. But don't lose sight of like the celebration moments. I think that's just, TA is such a hard profession, in my opinion. You are only as good as your last hire more often than not. And so don't lose those opportunities to celebrate with your team. It doesn't have to cost anything. Something as simple as a nice note to, you know, whoever the person was that made just a really difficult hire or even a simple hire, right? It's just, those are the moments that I think go a long way for your staff. It makes you feel good as a leader too, because there's nothing better than that kind of recognition process. And so I think all too often we move so quickly to course correct that we forget to take a moment and celebrate those wins. And then also it allows you to understand and really making sure that your story is being regularly told. I think that's the other kind of piece of advice that I have for leaders and even new people to the TA space is get really comfortable with your data and then get really comfortable being able to share your story with your data. The worst thing that your customer base can do is make assumptions of what you're doing, because more often than not, those assumptions are, well, I haven't heard from Josh, so he's probably not doing anything, right? And so when you're consistently being able to share your story, you use really good data to be able to share that. I think that goes a long way. We practice something at Inova. We have basically quarterly business reviews that everyone in TA participates in. From my position, it's really with the executives at each of our hospitals and care sites. My managers, they're really dealing with kind of our senior directors and mid-level leaders within each of the care sites. And then our recruiters and sourcers are going to those frontline leaders that they're making hires for. And it's a really, once a quarter, they're on site. So our team is virtual, but once a quarter, they're on site, rounding with those leaders, having really intimate conversations about what's working, what's going, you know, what's not working, giving some historical perspective, like here's what performance looked like over the last, you know, quarter, and here's what we have in the future. And it just really has created a great connection and great bond. But you have to be comfortable with your data, right? Sometimes your data might not put you in the best light, but you have to own it and know that there's course correction that can happen from it. So that's the other kind of advice I would have for new leaders is just get really comfortable in your data and then get really comfortable sharing your story. And there's nothing better than that.
Yeah, I think that's great advice. Thank you for sharing that. I think it's great for organizations, and especially in TA, you're right. You can sometimes get caught up in that you're only as good as the last hire that your hiring managers made, but it's really important to leverage the data, tell the story, celebrate the wins, look at where you've come from. Maybe you're on a journey, and it definitely is a journey, but continuing to market internally the value that the organization or the team is delivering to the organization is really important. So I think that's excellent 100%. Advice. Yeah. Josh, thank you so much for sharing your journey and joining me today on the podcast. So I really appreciate you and think you did a great job.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Ryan. Great being here.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of the Talent Acquisition Leaders Podcast. If something we said today resonated with you, please subscribe, rate, and download our podcast and share the episode with your network. Ready to transform your recruiting practices with leading-edge technology just like our other clients at 3M, Comcast, Stryker, and Walgreens? Then reach out at sagemarkhr.com for a free consultation.